This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. The Charleston Ballet is one of the oldest ballet companies in America. In a new documentary directed by Deborah Novak, members of the company, both seasoned and new, share the story of the ballet and its founder, André Van Damme. Jillian Brooks sat down with Kim Pauley, artistic director and CEO of the Charleston Ballet, to discuss the company's history and remember its founder.
We were just so fortunate to be having Deborah Novak. She's a dancer in the company, but she's kind of, I call her a Renaissance woman because she does all kinds of other things too. And filmmaking is one of them, and she does that so well. So I feel like all the stars were properly aligned for us to make this film and capture some of the older dancers that we had. We have some of the original members of the company still with us. So we thought that would be really important. And this documentary is filled with so much humanity that it seems like it is a documentary, but it seems like a story, and people get so absorbed in it.
I know when I was watching it to prepare for today, it really didn't feel like a documentary at all.
No, I know. And people, too, I had people say, well, I didn't know that much about ballet or I don't care that much about ballet, but the historical angles of everything and the footage and just the story of Mr. Van Damme's coming from Europe and everything and ending up in Charleston, West Virginia was really, really interesting to them.
I know you mentioned just now that Mr. Van Damme came from Europe. Can you tell me a little bit more about how that affected his work?
Sure. Well, he was a star dancer in the Brussels Royal Opera House, and his career was interrupted by World War II when he became involved in the Belgian Army. And then later, he became part of the Belgian resistance movement during the Nazi occupation. And so there are a lot of stories that he used to tell about some of the things that they did in that. And after the war, he ended up coming to Charleston through connections with the Belgian glassblowing community in South Charleston, and later created a ballet company here. And we've been here since 1956 in continuous operation. And in our history, we have only two directors in 62 years.
Can you tell me a little bit more of what it was like to work under Mr. Van Damme?
So Mr. Van Damme was a hard taskmaster. I started taking from him when I was a little girl and really was afraid every class. But I loved ballet, like so many that people will see in the film. He was not a difficult personality, but really kind of a perfectionist and had high expectations for himself and that kind of passed down to his students.
So what were some of his biggest troubles throughout his years?
Well, I think it's something that we still have to contend with today is lack of money, supporting the arts. Also, just like in West Virginia, it's a rural state, so it's not something that a lot of people have experience with. So when you don't have experience with art, it doesn't really cross your mind. But, you know, when it does enter your life, it really makes a huge difference. And you understand what an important part it plays in your education. And if we can instill that in our children and then also the parents, then it will filter down as a cycle. But you have to infiltrate that cycle first.
How is Mr. Van Damme still present in today's work?
I still occasionally reset some of his ballets, because we have some films of them. And I think it's important for them to experience the kind of choreography he did. But he's there. I mean, a lot of the children now have seen the documentary. And there was his picture is on the wall in the studio. And they used to say, Miss Pauley, who is that man? And I would tell them, you know, that was my teacher and stuff. But now they know. And some of the parents recently told me that because they've seen the documentary, the whole way they feel about their ballet is different now. They want to work harder. And I've told them, you know, you're part of a continuing history.
So what makes the Charleston Ballet different from other companies around the country?
Well, it's kind of a semi-professional company. It's not structured where we just hire dancers and, you know, for a season like many in a big city, that's what happens. But because we're in West Virginia, we end up having to train most of our dancers. So not only are they accomplished enough to perform with the Charleston Ballet, and then all the visiting guest artists that we have and visiting companies. Our performances now are integrated with professional companies too. But all these dancers have grown up and trained here. That says something about the school that he started too.
That was Jillian Brooks speaking with Charleston Ballet Artistic Director Kim Pauley. The documentary, André Van Damme and the Story of the Charleston Ballet, will premiere on West Virginia Public Broadcasting this coming Sunday, June 3rd at 8 in the evening. Visit our website for more details. Residents in Minden say they've observed a high rate of cancer among their loved ones and neighbors, although the official cancer registry maintained by the state of West Virginia doesn't back up their claims. As Carol Lofton reports, community members in Minden have been compiling their own unofficial database that may paint a different picture.
In the community of Minden, West Virginia, where about 250 people live today, lifelong resident Annetta Kaufman stands and points to each home along the small two-lane road.
The man that lived there, he died of cancer. And then the little blue house that's there, it's just an old house, little shack now, but that man died of leukemia. The orange house, that there were the Brellahans, both of them died of cancer. And then Tom Brown moved in. He lived in Minden his whole life, but he bought that house and he died of cancer shortly after moving in there. He died.
Kaufman believes that PCB contamination is causing cancer cluster in Minden. Polychlorinated biphenyl, more commonly known as PCB, is a toxic chemical manufactured from the late 1920s to 1970s in hundreds of industrial and commercial applications. A cancer cluster is a high number of cancer cases in a particular population over a brief period of time. But despite Minden being identified by the EPA as a location contaminated by PCBs, cancer clusters are really hard to prove. Sarah Knox is a professor of epidemiology at WVU, specializing in cancer.
Cancer is has multi-factor etiology.
Meaning there are many, many things, including diet, exercise, smoking, obesity, diabetes, genetics, lifestyle, and yes, environmental contaminants that contribute to whether or not a person gets cancer. Many of these factors, including cancer rates, are elevated in the Appalachian region.
And you find cancer health disparities in Appalachia and between Appalachian states and non-Appalachian states, and even within states between Appalachian counties and non-Appalachian counties. So you find cancer clusters by looking for them.
Like the rest of West Virginia, Minden struggles with high levels of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and hypertension, all factors that could contribute to cancer. Fayette County, where Minden is located, also struggles with high unemployment and poverty. While poverty in and of itself isn't a risk factor for cancer, poverty is associated with behaviors that put one at risk for cancer, such as smoking and obesity. Additionally, poverty is associated with being medically underserved or having less access to care, meaning if you are poor and get cancer, you're more likely to die from it. It's tough to know exactly where Minden stands economically. The U.S. Census doesn't have income or poverty information for this particular community. About 20% of the people who live in Fayette County, where Minden is located, are living in poverty, compared to 12.7% nationally, according to the census. Cancer rates in Fayette County are high, but close to the state average of about 469 cases per 100,000 residents, compared to a national incidence of 439. Residents in Minden, though, say their cancer incidence rates are four times that amount. They point to an unofficial list that residents have compiled of cancer deaths. From 1983 to 2004, about 152 people have died from cancer in this tiny community. Because historical population data is lacking in Minden, it's impossible to say whether this translates to an elevated rate of cancer, but it certainly feels that way to residents. Dr. Ayn Amjad's father was an oncologist who served the community of Minden. He died suddenly in 2017, and she talks about his work.
He was seeing a large amount of people who had, yes, cancer coming from Minden, a lot of lymphomas, a blood disorder type cancers, and he thought it has to be related to the environment because it was a small group of people who lived in a small, tiny town that were coming in. And so he was convinced that there was some relationship.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, further research is needed to determine if there are adverse human health effects to low-level environmental exposure to PCBs. But in animal studies, PCB exposure can cause a whole host of issues, including death, body weight loss, cancer, fatty liver, neurotoxicity, and thyroid hormone level alterations. Here's cancer researcher Sarah Knox.
So because there are different physiological processes involved in cancer and different factors that affect these things, you have to really do a strict methodological study over a period of time to try and figure out what differentiates the clusters from the non-clusters and to see whether or not the clusters are just chance, which they can be.
And finding funding to study cancer in Minden is almost impossible. Cancer research funds tend to go to bigger projects with broader impact on more people. Knox says in order to substantiate the Minden community's claim, they would need to find federal research funds. It's way too expensive for the state to take on. And until that happens, if ever, it's just citizens saying, please pay attention. Something abnormal is happening here. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Carol Lofton.
You can hear more about the town of Minden in the next episode of Inside Appalachia right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting this coming Sunday morning at 7 or Sunday evening at 6. The Environmental Protection Agency will hold a public listening session next week in the town of Minden, which is seeking federal help due to hazardous waste contamination. Brittany Patterson has more.
In the 1980s, the EPA found that a local company was responsible for contaminating the town's soil with a harmful chemical called polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs. The agency spent millions of dollars on a cleanup. But local residents are concerned PCB contamination is ongoing. They're asking the EPA to place the site on the Superfund National Priorities List, which would make it eligible for long-term cleanup paid for by the federal government. EPA's Mid-Atlantic Regional Administrator Cosmo Saverdio will be on hand to hear residents' input next Thursday, June 7th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the New Beginning Apostolic Church in Minden. The agency says it will also provide a brief update on recent testing. In a press release, the EPA says currently there is not enough data to determine if the site qualifies for the National Priorities List, but assessments are ongoing. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson in Morgantown.
Country music's reigning honky-tonk queen, Margot Price, performs Hurtin' on the Bottle from this year's encore broadcast of Mountain Stage. That was Margot Price performing Hurtin' on the Bottle live from an encore broadcast of Mountain Stage. For this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday night at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the help of Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Ann Zelevich.